Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us tonight our good friend Bill Sardi, who supports Radio Liberty, and he's going to be talking. Well, he's going to be talking about health issues. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Great to be with you. We've got a wide range of topics tonight, a lot of current events, and of course the war against dietary supplements. So it's quite a number of topics.
All right, you go for it, and I'll just sort of tag along here.
Well, Dr. Stan, you know you've been involved in this now over time, from learning about medicines in medical school all the way to learning more and more, as we all do in adulthood, about dietary supplements. And, of course, sometimes we hear lots of negative reports. This past week has actually been from the United Nations, how they got involved in this. Well, it turns out that this Codex Commission, involved in setting standards for the world for foods, also wants to set standards for dietary supplements, particularly vitamins and minerals. It now turns out that Codex, this trade group or world standards group, has voted to accept scientific standards as the scientific risk assessment. Anything based on the science is what they're going to look at. And, of course, the United Nations is going to assemble a group of scientists to tell us what the risks are from vitamins and minerals. Now, we're still waiting for any significant amount of morbidity or mortality to be related to vitamins and minerals, maybe to certain herbs, but certainly not to vitamins and minerals in any significant way that we can find. But nonetheless, they're going to protect us from them and set upper limits, that is, you know, how much you can take maximally and still avoid toxicity. And I understand even water and air are toxic, so too much of anything can cause trouble, certainly. So there is a point at which problems start to begin. And now this past week, the director of food safety for the United Nations simply said that you don't need vitamin and mineral supplements in high doses, and that all you need is a balanced diet is perfectly sufficient. Now, this is about a 10-step backward position to take. We've gone over the past 10, 20 years learning that the diet is not sufficient for people, certainly for those who are pregnant, hospitalized, under stress, athletes, people in hospitals, people who take certain medications, exposed to a lot of sun or other radiation, who have diabetes and a long list of other diseases and problems. So the list, smokers and so on. So the list is so long, we wonder who wouldn't benefit. And here's the United Nations saying, your diet will do you just well enough. And recall now, as we get older, our digestive tract doesn't work as well. We don't absorb food nutrients from foods or supplements as well. So supplements tell us maybe there's a place for those to fit in to make up for nutritional deficiencies. 4 in 10 Americans, remember, we are a well-fed country, and many of us have nutritional deficiencies.
Now, right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Bill Sardi, and I would simply point out, do you really want to trust your health to the United Nations? Look at what a great job they've done with the AIDS epidemic in Africa. We're in Botswana, 40% of the pregnant women are now HIV infected and are going to die. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Bill Sardi, and Bill was simply pointing out that there certainly is a need for nutritional supplements, and for whatever reason it would be, they got the United Nations plans to establish a scientific community, but really, I've seen these committees set up. It's not whether it's a scientific community, but who picks the scientists to be on those committees, and time again. We see them very specifically pick specific scientists who have a political agenda, who are not interested in the search for truth, but are interested in progressing or certainly perpetuating their program and pushing their program on an unsuspecting public. So pick up the story there, Bill, please.
Well, and certainly as we understand it, you can just read the National Library of Medicine. Just go to pubmed.gov and you can just read through the National Library of Medicine. Here's just some of the things you can read. Well, beta-carotene in high doses is toxic, could cause lung cancer among smokers. You may have read that in many, many reports. It's totally false. I mean, it was fabricated. They had a long study going, and they stopped the study suddenly, right in 1994, before there was a vote on the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act that spared dietary supplements from becoming drugs. You'd have to go to the doctor, get a prescription for all of them. And they tried to block that legislation by publishing this bogus study that beta-carotene promoted lung cancer. Of course, there was no significant risk. It was less than 1% increased risk. But they said it was an 18% risk. It was a relative difference. In real numbers, it was just less than 1%. It was not significant. And they blew up this chart so that the two lines between the non-users and the users of the beta-carotene looked real wide. Of course, it was hardly anything. If it was normal size, you couldn't tell the difference of one line over the other. And so there was really no increased risk.
And so that old adage that figures don't lie, but liars figure. And the tragedy is today, we have men who purport to be scientists who are really pushing a political and sometimes a very lethal agenda.
Well, and doctors sometimes even believe this stuff. And of course, vitamin C, there have been two major reports showing that high-dose vitamin C has something to do with causing DNA mutations. Of course, it took 2 years for scientists at Cornell to come out with a response to the latest one in 2001. This was in Science magazine where I actually wrote a rebuttal letter and it got published, but Cornell got around to that a couple of years later here and now has published a paper showing that the studies they did were simply in test tubes and have no relevance whatsoever.
And I'm going to have to interrupt you there because we're going to have to bring our other stations back on board here right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill was just talking about the study that had apparently purported to show that vitamin C was not beneficial. It could cause all sorts of problems. And, of course, this study eventually was disproven. In fact, it was admitted by the people who did the study that was all done in test tubes. It had no application to human beings. And Bill actually had written a rebuttal to that letter, and it was actually published in one of the major major scientific journals here in the United States. Which was that, Science or Nature?
Science magazine. The problem was these are all peer-reviewed journals. What happened to the peer review? Because in that article in Science magazine, this scientist, he was at University of Pennsylvania Oncology Research Center, sponsored by pharmaceutical companies, that whole division of the University of Pennsylvania Medical Center. And, of course, what he had done was said that this test tube study was applicable to humans and to no one should try to take more than 200 milligrams of vitamin C. You could get cancer from this. Now, animals make thousands and thousands of milligrams of vitamin C all day long, so this is how impossible it was, but nonetheless they would make this this kind of a claim. And what we pointed out to the editors, which they then had to publish my letter, was, but there were 5 human studies published that this fellow never used in his references to show that it was non-toxic, it doesn't damage DNA genetic material. Now that's pretty bad in itself. So this caused all kinds of trouble. And, of course, there were issues there all along.
Hi there, Bill.
I'm sorry. Your call did not go through.
Okay, I guess
we'll try your call again.
Bill, are you there? Okay, we're going to have to get him back on the line again. Let's see what this is. Hello? Hello? All right. Well, we seem to be having a problem here. Anyway, Bill, sorry, is talking about what's really going on as far as the difficulty being able to really trust some of these scientific studies, because when you have drug companies that are making fabulous amounts of money by pushing their medications. I mean, there's a new cancer medication that's out. It's going to cost $100,000 a year for treatment. Now, where is the money going to come from? From the insurers? From the medical insurance? Is it going to come from the individuals? If your life is on the line, maybe you'll put out $100,000 a year. But many of these drug companies are really taking advantage of the public. And that's the great tragedy of today. If you haven't read the book by Dr. Marshall Angel, entitled What You Should Know About the Drug Companies, why we carry the book, and we certainly hope many of you will give serious consideration to getting the book. Marshall Angel was the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, was on the staff at Harvard University, and she wrote a book exposing the corruption within the drug companies. And when that book was published, they came after her with hammer and tong. I actually did a debate with a PhD, not a medical doctor, but a doctor who was actually hired as a public relations person for the drug firms. And, of course, I mentioned Dr. Marcia Angel. This doctor, so-called doctor, said that they were monitoring her. You know, he told me how many radio stations and television programs she'd been on. And I said to him, in other words, what you're doing is you're watching Dr. Angel and keeping tabs on her because she's bringing out what you're doing. And his response was, oh, no, we have a clipping service. Well, let me tell you, the clipping services don't record the number of radio programs and television programs you're on. They have given Dr. Angel such a bad time that she won't answer her emails. She will not do any more interviews. You come out and tell the truth about what the drug companies are doing to rip off the American people, and they'll come after you. Hi, Bella. Sorry we got cut off there.
Well, that's quite all right. You know, as we continue this war against dietary supplements, of course, you've gone on your program into a broader discussion of how this fits in with, of course, larger agendas, such as population control, world population control. Why, if they take away the dietary supplements, we have to not only totally rely on pharmaceutical drugs, but it takes away our any access that we have directly to control our own health, and, of course, ways of boosting our immunity. And, of course, they're talking about possible influenza bugs traversing the globe, causing a pandemic. And, of course, we are totally vulnerable. There's no way they could get vaccines to us. There aren't any vaccines. They don't work anyway. But they want to make us totally dependent upon them, even though they couldn't deliver them to you. And, of course, with wonderful discoveries like selenium, which prevents influenza bugs from mutating into the most virulent forms that then cause the pneumonia that is linked with most of the mortality surrounding the flu virus. Why, certainly we all ought to be, there ought to be a world bulletin out that the whole world needs to be fortifying their foods and taking selenium supplements to certainly put up a defense, since we don't have vaccines. We have a few medicines that shorten the duration of the flu, but they're not really good at preventing it in total. So we're at risk, and of course we have pointed out these larger agendas are seeming to be at conflict with each other. We mentioned the United Nations at the top of the hour, and of course they're involved in regulating dietary supplements. They're also the ones involved through the World Health Organization for charting progress and being involved in programs with population control, that is, birth control, they call it, and at the same time trying to expand human health and run health programs across the world. They seem to be at different ends, because at one end they don't want us to live as long, possibly as a way of controlling population, though they say it's birth control. It could be death control. And certainly there are efforts to knock down birth rates in countries. And we talk about abortion and other things, and certainly those things make it treacherous for any baby to navigate its way into this world in so many parts of the globe, including this country. But they have ways of knocking fertility down, and now after sitting down and studying these things, it was quite interesting when we looked at early on all the information on fluoride, on MSG, and on statin cholesterol-lowering drugs early on, the early information, because that's when they study toxicity, showed that all three of those tremendously lowered fertility rates in females and virility rates in males. Now, we wonder if the whole agenda of just putting fluoride in water isn't just a population control effort, and the issue about dental caries is all just a distraction. The same with cholesterol-lowering. Why would we want to lower cholesterol in a 20-year-old female? She's supposed to be fertile and having babies. Yet her mind indiscriminately is on that. In fact, an internist might even put her on a statin cholesterol-lowering drug, or at least tell her to be on a low-fat diet, which will drive her into depression. Then she'll be on antidepressants. And, of course, then she can't figure out why she can't have babies. We never had all these fertility clinics 20, 30, 40 years ago. What is all this about? Well, you see, I think if they can find ways to silently and covertly knock the fertility rates down, well, then if they've accomplished their goals, and it's very interesting how all of these things seem to be related to that. We can't find where lowering cholesterol significantly lowers the mortality rates. Largest study in Journal American Medical Association said lowering cholesterol through statin drugs only lowered the mortality rate by 0.4%. So with all of that said and done, now that the clouds have parted and we can realize what's going on here, when you look at cholesterol, it is a precursor for certain hormones such as DHEA, and then it goes on down to something called pregnenolone, and then testosterone, and then estrogen. So if you lower your cholesterol, you won't be making those hormones. Not very well, anyway. So we certainly have a whole agenda, it seems, to control populations. And, of course, we are in a stagnant population situation in North America, in Western Europe, and in Japan. And so then in order to keep the populations having enough young people to pay for the old in these welfare programs, well, then we have to invite or open up the borders to more immigration so the workers, the young workers, can then use their taxes to pay for what we really have is a Ponzi scheme, our Social Security system. So this becomes a whole big mess politically. We begin to wonder when we saw the Terry Schiavo case and so on now, are they going to let us live, or are they just going to let us kind of hasten us on to our death?
Let me just comment that we know from the studies done by Dr. Fudenberg that if you take the influenza vaccine and you take three or four shots over a five-year period, and you're between 60 and 65, according to Dr. Fudenberg, 10 years down the line, your incidence of Alzheimer's disease goes up 1,000%. Now, the government knows that. So why is the CDC telling elderly people, oh, you've got to get your influenza shot, when it really doesn't do that much good? Is there another agenda behind that? And I would like to suggest, I believe there is. We'll be back in just a moment with Bill Sardi. And you better get the facts, because the life you save could be your own. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and for our skeptics out there, if you'd like to get the abstract of Dr. Fudenberg's website, we have that available. We'll be glad to send it to you if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. I think Bill's point is so well taken. We know that that mercury will decrease fertility, and certainly there's mercury in the vaccines that they give. They tell us we just have to get that shot for influenza. We know that NutraSweet and MSG will decrease fertility. We know that fluoride will decrease fertility. And, of course, Bill is pointing out that statin drugs decrease fertility. And then we wonder why so many couples are having difficulty conceiving a child. So why don't you pick up the story there, Bill?
Well, we have all of these issues. I would certainly say that population control is a major agenda across the globe for the elitists, the people in authority. I don't think they want to come directly out and say this, but certainly some way of culling down the size of populations. What they're predicting is a world with 6 billion people will have 9 billion by the year 2050, most of that in the third world. And, of course, most of that might be a Muslim population to a great deal, certainly Chinese and so on. And I think that herein, now there have been books written, how many people can the population, the world, how much can the world, the planet Earth, handle? Books on this, papers say anywhere from 39 billion all the way up to 100 billion, but they're certainly nowhere near where we are now, which is only 6 billion or 9 billion. That seems kind of paltry. So the Earth can handle this, but there's a great deal of talk about not enough resources and so on and so on. So,
well, Bill, I think that if we really look at the figures, and I know I've talked to the people at the Population Research Institute, and they say it's anticipated that the world population will increase to about 8 billion, maybe 8.5 billion. But if you look in the countries, the underdeveloped countries of the world, you look in Thailand, and look in the countries of Malaysia, and you look what's happening in India, and you look what's happening in China, as the people increase their living standards, the people have less and less children. They anticipate that when the world population starts dropping at about 8.5 billion, it will continue dropping, and the question is, will they be able to stop it from dropping and totally collapsing? And we know what's happening in Russia today. We know what's happening in Italy today. 50 years from now, both of those countries will have about half the population they have, unless, of course, they open the borders to Muslim immigration. But the countries as they exist today will not be there 50 years from now.
Well, there are articles in papers where whole towns and villages in Italy are just closing down. They can't keep the church open and so on in that community, and so this is actually what's happening. In Japan, the young women are electing not to get married and not to have children, so they want more freedom. There's quite a thing here. Certainly Malthus was the one well over 100 years ago who said, you know, this is going to be a multiple type of growth, some sort of 2 becomes 4, 4 becomes 8, 8 becomes 16, and of course what he didn't see was that the food supply would be tremendously, the agricultural revolution, industrial revolution would come about. And of course he didn't see that the population growth would calm down. As women, certainly as populations became stable economically and so on, then women would control this on their own. So, understand women.
Hold that thought right there. We want to bring the other stations right on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Bill Sardi, and he's a health journalist and has fascinating, fascinating information. We've been talking about population control, about how Thomas Malthus, writing, I think it was in 1826, the sixth essay on population, talked about, you know, the fact that we were going to run out of food within a relatively few years. We had to allow people to die, and we had to encourage great plagues, because that was the only way to control the world population, because he knew, he was smart enough to know that within a relatively few years, the world would run out of food, and here it is almost 200 years later, and Thomas Malthus has been proven wrong, and yet we find literally hundreds of thousands of people today who echo his beliefs and still sound the same uncertain trumpet. So go ahead, Bill.
Well, certainly we have to ask ourselves, I've heard you say this to me on the phone, you know, it's difficult to educate and inform the American public that they just might be poisoned. How do we say it? You know, I think it's convenient to say that maybe government is too chummy with industry and we let these things go on. I think it's hard for us to believe that somebody might do these things intentionally, but we certainly do see a lot of things that bother us. Here, Washington Post today, Harvard professor being investigated for what? Well, apparently this professor had information that the fluoridation of tap water increased bone cancer in adolescent boys, and he hid the information. Now they're investigating this quite carefully. This is not a trivial report. It wouldn't have got to the Washington Post. And it was a young boys age 5 to 10 years old, and there seemed to be an increase with this fluoridation of the water. Now, you know, fluoridation, it sounds innocent, and boy, we're going to get rid of the dental caries, but I still see a lot of people going to the dentist, and I don't see any real reduction in dental carry rates of cavities among children, and yet we still do that. What was behind all this in the first place? I don't understand. We haven't achieved the objective, but we keep doing it anyway. Here we have another report from British Broadcasting. Aspartame, the sweetener NutraSweet, linked to leukemias. And, of course, they did a study with the rodents and found out that, this seems to tremendously increase. Now, this is the kind of safety study that would have been done before aspartame ever got on shelves of stores or put inside of products. And now they're finding it out now. We know that aspartame was put on the market without adequate safety testing. You know, we do see, we have talked about it earlier, and the risk of tuberculosis and paratuberculosis, particularly from our meat and our milk supplies. And now we have a highly contagious epidemic of tuberculosis found in a herd of cattle in Minnesota. This is being announced this week, but the week before we found that an internist working in a hospital in Boston had tuberculosis. Now that means she had to get it from other workers and patients and so on. They're worried that this is quite prevalent around. Tuberculosis, a stealth bacterium, it's not just a lung infection, it's also has another little form called paratuberculosis. It's transferred from food, in this case most of the time milk. About 3% of the milk supply in the United States is contaminated with a germ, paratuberculosis. They're not warning us of it. They're not telling us anything about it. So it was in the Journal of Food Protection in May. No red alert. USDA, Department of Agriculture, U.S. FDA, Food and Drug, certainly not warning us of this hazard, and I'm warning everyone, you can get serious disease, at least Crohn's disease, and we think it's related to all of the autoimmune diseases like lupus and rheumatoid arthritis and so on. And, of course, just warning everybody, really, basically, if you're going to drink milk, reboil it like they do in India, where they know they have unclean milk there and they don't seem to have the rates of Crohn's disease and autoimmune disease as we do here. And then, of course, we have to watch that we're using, if you're going to use dairy products, use boiled sources. This would be like yogurts and tapioca and so on, if that's what you're going to do, because our system, our food cleanliness safety system is compromised. We're too obligated to industry. But we really wonder with all of this, it's not only too chummy with industry, but we wonder if they're letting all this happen. We just wonder.
Well, of course, it was very interesting. I had an opportunity to talk to an official working for the government, the agricultural department. I asked him why we didn't routinely test all of our cows for mad cow disease as they do in Japan. Oh, his response was, we might get a false positive. So we're not going to test any of the cows because we might get a false positive. Doesn't that make you feel good? And because other countries test their cows, we just don't test them here until one of them dies. And then, of course, they test them, and my goodness, it had mad cow disease. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Bill Sardi as we talk about some of the incredible things going on today you're not going to hear elsewhere. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and right now we've got Bill Sardi on the line as our guest. Let's take Bill. He's been patiently hanging on from Florida there for some time. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Oh, doing fair, Doc.
Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I've got a question. I think it might be somewhat on point. My wife just had a complete hysterectomy about 3 weeks ago. And she was doing fine for 2 weeks afterwards, and then last Friday she started throwing up. She couldn't keep anything down, and she's in the hospital now, and they've got her. I finally talked the doctor into giving her nourishment and vitamins. I can't get him to give her any magnesium, but I was wondering if it's an accepted use to to use aloe vera juice. If she drank some of that, she has dilation or inflammation in the small intestine.
Well, you know, does she have an infection, Bill?
Her white cells are elevated somewhat.
But are they giving her antibiotics?
No, not yet.
All right, fine. Do you have any thoughts at all on that, Bill? It's sort of a vague story.
It is, but when you get out of a hospital and you usually got antibiotics when you were there, and then maybe there was something lingering, maybe the patient didn't take their full course of antibiotics too, and so something comes back, and so in general you think, let's restart, let's look for other bugs, let's culture things and see which antibiotic might work best, put them back on antibiotics, and aloe vera may be helpful in the gut itself. It won't hurt anything. This person may have acquired a hospital-acquired drug-resistant bacterium. And, of course, this could be a serious problem. So it's important to think, you know, I just had a lady staying here at my home with an eye infection, and she's had so many antibiotics in her lifetime. They can't get this under control. The retina doctor thinks that maybe she's going to lose her eye one of these days. She's had so many operations on it. And, of course, we were able to give her a very powerful oil of oregano pill called Oregacin, which is just as strong as most of the antibiotics in the hospitals without causing the antibiotic resistance. And within 2 days, her eye went from red to perfectly nice white of the eye. And the infection's over with. She'll be doing a 3-week course to... So we saw it clear up without having to go to antibiotics, and it may just have saved her, not only her vision at the time, but probably the loss of her eye would have continued here because they're having to use so many units of these antibiotics because they're just there's too much drug resistance now.
Now hold that thought for just a moment here as we pull our other stations right back on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Anything else you want to ask, Bill?
Yeah, so basically if I bought her some in the health food store, pure aloe vera juice, she drank a little of that.
The juice wouldn't help you, but the aloe vera, the concentrates, those are the things would help. The juice doesn't help very much. But
okay, Bill?
Can you mix aloe vera, if you have pure aloe vera gel?
You can mix it, but you're just diluting the good stuff. How aloe vera works... It temporarily creates hydrogen peroxide, just momentarily. You know, like you put hydrogen peroxide in a wound to clean it out. And so it's somewhat cleansing in the digestive tract.
Okay, fine.
I'd like to send Bill an email. It'll be coming from RKBA.
That's fine.
Just send me an email.
We'll be happy. Go to my website at knowledgeofhealth.com.
Thanks very much, Bill. Let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, did you guys talk about Viagra yet?
No.
And how about reports of blindness and heart attacks?
All right, well, let's get Bill's thought on that.
Well, you know, the Viagra thing, of course, really what they did is they did some research, New England Journal of Medicine, and found out that... arginine, which is an amino acid you can buy in health food stores, might increase circulation by creating a little temporary gas in the circulatory system called nitric oxide, which expands or dilates blood vessels. And when they saw that, wow, they got excited because they knew they could create a Viagra effect. And then they use more stronger drugs to do this. The problem is they're too strong. And now we do see that they overly dilate blood vessels. You could have serious events and strokes, and of course it's not surprising that now you can see it increases the risk of blindness as well. The problem is that this is just an example. Vioxx is another one, and so on. As soon as we come to these risks, we get black box warnings. What are black box warnings? They lay the blame on you, the consumer. Oh, well, you didn't take these, or you didn't read the instructions, or well, you didn't read, there was a warning, and that gets the drug companies off the hook. That's all this is. Can you imagine a black box warning on a dietary supplement? As soon as we get near any kind of risk for anything, they yank it off the market. This is just absolution is all it is by the Food and Drug Administration. So, we told you it was on the black box as you've lost your sight from taking Viagra. Of course, it's still millions and millions of kind of a drug being sold. So I think we just don't understand that the FDA is is really not working on behalf of the public. They're working on behalf of drug companies, the people that allowed about 20-some thousand people to die prematurely from Vioxx and some of these other anti-inflammatory drugs. They're still there. They still got full salary, and they haven't been called to the carpet. Did you notice that when organizations within government, agencies like the FDA, when they're in trouble, they have a hearing, and they put on these charade hearings? If the public doesn't catch on, they're just charades. They say a few angry things of this and that, and the same people go back to work again. So it's just for show. The public needs to catch on. People aren't losing their jobs. People aren't called on the carpet. This is a terrible problem. And, of course, especially when human life is involved, it has a different level of urgency than it does, running the carpet sweeping company or something. You know, there's certainly something different here in its severity and ethics. So it's very important that we understand that much of what we see in government today is misinformation, and much of what we see is charade as far as policing our own government agencies.
And, Mike, I would suggest if you have not read my January newsletter, anyway, it's January, February, it was simply the testimony given by Dr. David Graham before the United States Senate in November of last year, pointing out that they knew that Vioxx was going to kill people, and they put it on the market anyway. And what was even more incredible, although it isn't covered in his testimony, is that the Merck company instructed, at least according to the New York Times, instructed their detail people when they went around to talk to the doctors, and the doctors asked, well, is there any danger of heart attack? Why, the detail people were told to tell the doctors, well, why don't you write to Merck Company? I really can't tell you, but you write to Merck. Now, most doctors do not have time to write to a drug company to get the result of their studies and to find out if there was really any danger from Vioxx, which actually probably killed, at least according to Dr. Graham, about 30 to 40% of the people who had heart attacks, and that was probably about 80,000 people had had heart attacks. Some people said it was as many as 160,000. But, what happened when the doctors wrote to Merck, Merck would say, well, we can't give you the answer. Why don't you write to the FDA? So then the FDA had not been given the studies that Merck had that showed it was killing people, and so the FDA would write back and say, we don't find anything wrong. So the doctors had no idea they were giving their patients a lethal product. I mean, talk about irresponsibility. But if you'd like to get a copy of Dr. Graham's testimony before the United States Senate, it is the most incredible document, and I believe it's my January newsletter. We'll be glad to send you one if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Anything else, Mike?
Well, I just think it's much more than a charade or irresponsibility. I think that when you go fishing, you put a worm on the hook, and you don't tell the fish the hook's there. The whole thing is a baited hook for population control. I think they know exactly what they're doing, just like so many other times it's become so apparent that they did. So that's the caller's opinion.
Okay, thanks so much, Mike. And let's go to Mary calling from Covina. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'd like to ask Mr. Sardi about evaporated milk. Is that okay? Would there be any chance of this?
Anything that's boiled. So I don't know how they make that. I've forgotten how they do that, but I believe it is boiled and evaporated down and then, brought back up. So anything like yogurts which have been boiled or tapioca or something like that and so on are fine. In fact, there's some liquid yogurts that are around and can be used. So those would be safe to use. Again, we've had a giant letdown in the safety net in our country for clean food, and of course we're just kind of concerned about this. If you're just tuning in, milk has a bug called paratuberculosis in it, and it's contaminated at least 3% of the milk in the retail stores, your grocery stores, and of course you don't know which ones have it, which ones don't, so they mix all the milk together in giant vats, so it could be as much as half of the milk that we drink has this in it. And it may be responsible for things like Crohn's disease and sarcoidosis and lupus and rheumatoid arthritis and so on.
Okay. Go ahead, Mary.
What about using powder, making your own milk from powdered milk?
Well, again, the bacterium could be in powdered milk. It depends on how they process it. Could be in ice cream. You know, they actually make cheese without even pasteurizing it, if you can believe that the FDA actually allows this. Then they go after the companies for having things in their bugs in their germs in their cheeses and so on. So this is kind of, I don't know, just listeria and so on is what the bugs that you kind of hear about in cheese. So they go sanction them and so on. Well, they never should have allowed it to happen in the first place. These are all, of course, pasteurization is an incomplete process. It's at 12 seconds of heat at 160 degrees or so. It's just not enough. These bugs are, in this case, kind of resistant to all this. And getting past the whole process enough to spread disease from soil to animals to humans, that's how it's being done. And, of course, we allowed this to happen when we grain-fed our cattle. That changed their digestive tract from being acidic, which would destroy most of this bacteria before it got us, to alkaline, and then their digestive tract doesn't kill the bugs. So we have hundreds of times more germs on board, like E. coli certain kinds of other germs that we have in poultry and so on, all the way through. And this is why we're hearing about the E. coli infections from eating hamburgers and so on. And, of course, they're blaming it on us. We didn't eat the food as well. When the bacteria count is high, you can't kill them all as easily, and so that's where your problem is. We don't eat sterile food. It has some bacteria, fungus, and so on. The problem is when the count is low, there's no issue. Your stomach acid and so on will kill it. When it's real high, it can get past that, and now you've got serious disease and infection in the population.
Hey, Mary, we're going to have to run. We've got somebody calling from Norway.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks so much, Mary. And we've got Leif on the line from Norway. Hi, Leif. How are you doing?
Thank you. Great. Thank you. I have a question about C vitamins.
About what?
C vitamins.
All right. Vitamin C, right.
Vitamin C.
Right.
I bought some 750 milligram tablets. Now, it says about, I tried to research this myself, about there's a warning here about iron intake increase.
That's just a scare tactic. They actually did studies with iron and vitamin C, and there was no increase in iron overload. Now, vitamin C does increase the absorption of iron from plant foods. And so if you're on the anemic side, it tends to help with that. But the body has another defense system and doesn't allow iron absorption if you have a sufficient amount. So it overrides that. Of course, they're trying to scare you away from the vitamin C. There is no evidence of iron overload from taking too much vitamin C.
And you don't want to take too much iron from other sources, but vitamin C isn't going to hurt you.
No, vitamin C won't. It's a safe way to guard against anemia. Now, for males, they don't want supplemental sources of iron. They want it from their food. You don't want highly fortified foods or iron supplements for full-grown males. For young children that are growing, they need all the iron they can get. They're making 2 million red blood cells a second in their bone marrow. They need all they can get, and so they're guarded against iron overload. But for males, that's a problem. For females, as long as they're fertile and menstruating, they won't accumulate excess iron. And then if they've had an early hysterectomy or gone into menopause, then they no longer control their iron. 80% of the iron is in the bloodstream, and so therefore, after that time, they're in the same condition as males. They want to guard against iron overload.
Okay, anything else, Leif?
Well, these tablets I bought, what can be recommended? Because they use some titan oxide.
Titanium oxide, dioxide, is simply an inert substance. They use it even to make hip implants and other things. Titanium dioxide never gets in the bloodstream. It passes right through your body. It's just what they call an excipient. That is something that's used to help get the powdered vitamin C into the pill. Kind of like having a bad hair day. The electrostatic attraction isn't good, so they use it to get it into the pill. It's totally inert and doesn't bother a thing.
Okay, Leif.
There is also other chemicals in it as well, but I cannot list them up in English. It's written in Norwegian.
I was
wondering what is the best form of taking the tablets. And are there any of those health chemical stuff in addition to the vitamins that are damaging?
Generally, no, or the companies would be sued for, of course, putting things in that are toxic. So in general, we can say that there isn't danger or problem there that we've been able to find.
That's good.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much for calling, Leif.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, we've got a lot of problems, and I think people have to realize they're going to have to learn. They're going to have to be responsible for their own health. Obviously, Leif, calling us from Norway, is concerned and wants to know about some of the things, which are a little confusing, but hopefully with Bill's help, why we can decipher a lot of these fancy terms that are being used. But the important thing I think Bill is stressing is that we have to take adequate nutritional supplements, and many of these things we should really have on hand, because we're hearing a great deal recently about the possibility, in fact, we read articles that say it's not a matter of if, but when an influenza pandemic strikes. And then, of course, we're told, well, gee, there's not enough of these medicines, and amantadine, while a lot of the organisms have become, a lot of the flu viruses become resistant to amantadine, there's not enough Tamiflu to go around. Well, we're going to have to come up with a vaccine, but you don't want to take a vaccine unless it has a long track record. And there is no track record against these new types of the influenza virus. So the important thing to do is to begin to prepare yourself on methods, or to acquaint yourself with the methods of increasing your immune response. Do you want to just touch on that briefly, Bill? I think that is so vitally important.
Well, we have a concern that they're actually trying to take this resistant form of the flu bug and stick it in animals and then say it mutated and jumped from animals to humans, and then it's going to go around the globe and cause this pandemic, they're predicting. And, of course, the vulnerable people are the very aged, people with other infections, anybody with existing tuberculosis, which really knocks down your immune system, they're the most likely to experience mortality. 2 billion people on the planet, 1 out of every 3 people has tuberculosis. They're most likely to die if a flu pandemic sweeps the globe. The way you knock this out is to get vitamin C, vitamin D, and, of course, some selenium. Selenium, about 200 micrograms, vitamin C, couple thousand milligrams 3 times a day, and vitamin D a couple thousand units a day. And that's the way you boost your immunity. If you're puzzled, want to know more about this, go to knowledgeofhealth.com, my website. We're happy to help you. Or there is a website, survivalvitamins.com, where you can get a free guide about which vitamins you need to survive. There's a free guide there. It's about 12 pages long. You can download it, print it, and read it. And it's perfectly free. You can buy vitamins anywhere you want, and that'll help you a little bit. And understanding that we live in an era, we're not sure exactly what the agenda is of the governments of the world. It seems to be population control, and they seem to be interested in starting a pandemic and having it sweep the globe so that they can control the size of the world population.
Well, again, could you put those websites out again?
KnowledgeofHealth.com, lots of free information. We talked about tuberculosis, paratuberculosis, unclean milk. That's all at KnowledgeofHealth.com. If you want the free guide on vitamins, it's survivalvitamins.com. Again, people get leery. That's all free information. You can get it there. There's no memberships required, nothing.
And what about oil of oregano or regicin? Would this be something that would be beneficial?
Oregano and oregacin are very, very wonderful, and there's some, it comes in liquid, there's some capsules that are the dry powder. Again, it seems to work quite well, and of course, we suggest that everybody have a home kit get some oregano drops or some oregano pills. Everybody should have a home survival kit of some kind with some natural antibiotics.
And then, of course, along with the vitamin C, the vitamin D, and the selenium, something to have on hand.
Absolutely. And make sure you're getting the selenium, even for your babies and so on. There's dosage guides, but, you know, so that they won't get the forms that become lethal in the body.
Okay. We're going to be back here in just a moment. Our guest has been Bill Sardi, and we will be back in just a moment to wrap up the rest of this program here at Radio Liberty. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest has been Bill Sardi. And, Bill, we've got about 3 minutes before we have to let you go.
I'm just wondering how our audience hears and perceives all this. Some of them have heard it before. And, of course, it sounds sometimes too conspiratorial for some. For others, they may think, well, I'll check with my doctor. Some not so sure about herbal medicine and have questions. I think there's kind of a neutrophobia. People wonder about vitamins more than they do the drugs they take. There's a long list of side effects with the drugs. There aren't with the dietary supplements, but somehow they've kind of crossed the wires on those things. So I think we need to get more familiar with these things, make sure that you, your family, and loved one use them and have them, and understand from babies on up to retirees, we need dietary supplements in order to stay healthy. It's a wonderful natural protection, works better than our medicines, and I hear from people every day they haven't been to the doctor in 40 years and they take dietary supplements. So I think that's a wonderful, successful track record. There's just not enough people doing that.
And certainly, I think one of the most significant things we've learned is the fact that the body does not, the human body, doesn't produce adequate vitamin C, and you really can't get enough of it through your diet. You get enough through your diet to prevent scurvy, but you don't get enough really to maintain your health, the healthy arteries, and all the other wonderful things vitamin C does.
And Dr. Stan, we have so many people with bleeding gums and, you know, black and blue marks on the back of their hand and so on, and those are overt signs of scurvy, and we still don't even recommend vitamin C, so we miss so much that so many people that could be helped.
And, of course, how much vitamin C should people be taking?
Well, the big thing is learn to take it through the day. If you're taking it three or five times a day, they don't make vitamin C pills in the United States below 500 milligrams anymore. So you can't go wrong, get a 500 or 1,000 pill in milligrams and then take it three to five times a day. Keep the blood levels up. That's the big secret. That's, you know, the new information we have, and, of course, that'll really do quite well for us.
All right, fine. Well, I really want to thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest today has been Bill Sardi, and, of course, he's a health journalist. I've got tremendous information. And remember those websites, survivalvitamins.com and knowledgeofhealth.com. Any last thought before we let you go?
Well, thank you for inviting me on Radio Liberty. I'm certainly glad I have the opportunity to share here.
Well,
everyone continues to support Radio Liberty.
Well, God bless you, and thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Nelson.
Good night. And I just certainly want to announce that Dave Emery is going to be speaking down at the Loudon Nelson Center on July 16th at 7:30 p.m. That's Dave Emery is going to be speaking at Loudon Nelson on July 16th at 7:30 p.m. on AIDS. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to remind our listening audience that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs and believe our message to help us as we reach out across America. 5 hours every day on radio someplace in America, 5 hours a day on the Internet, 5 hours a day on satellite, and 4 hours a day on shortwave. So if you believe that we have a unique message and the information is well worthwhile and more people need to hear it, then seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family and supporting us. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then I want to mention that we have an opportunity to expand dramatically our listening audience on this hour of the program. Right now it's heard on 10 regular stations, 2 shortwave stations, about 40 or 50 micro stations, but we have an opportunity to have 18 more major radio stations throughout the Middle West pull down this program. One station, 100,000 watt, others 50,000. Some of them are small stations, but what an amazing opportunity to reach people who have never heard much of the information we put out. And so if you'd like to help us, and of course we just have to get the support before we make the commitment, if you'd like to help us as we try to bring on these additional 18 stations into our network for the evening program, which will mean that over 30 stations will hear our programming, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you can make a pledge, or whatever you could do will be appreciated. If you'd like to know more about the health issues we talked about, let me suggest the book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Russell Blaylock. We have a four-tape set with Dr. Blaylock called Life-Saving Secrets. We carried Dr. Blaylock's book for cancer patients. It's called Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, and his book on excitotoxins, because that, if you must understand that MSG and NutraSweet aspartame, which are in your diet, they know they're not safe, but they do work very effectively to control fertility and to create all sorts of problems and increase cancer, and they know what it's doing. They just don't want you to know. Dr. Blaylock's book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, is available through Radio Liberty. And then if you're a skeptic, Dr. Marshall Angel's book, What You Should Know About the Drug Companies, Dr. Marshall Angel, former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, presently on the staff at Harvard. We carry her book. She will not do interviews anymore, because when you tell the truth, why, you're going to come at a tremendous attack. We also carry the book Death by RX, Dr. Strand's book, Death by RX. It goes into the background of the statin drug scam and the high blood pressure pill scam, and so much of what you are being told, and what your doctor is being told. Your doctor doesn't really know. He is told by the people that come into his office from the drug companies and are paid to lie to him. They don't really understand either. The people of the drug companies know what the studies are. But the last thing they want is for the American people to know that the damage that some of these medications are really doing. That's the book, What You Should Know About the Drug Companies by Dr. Marshall Angel. And, of course, Death by RX by Dr. Strand. These and the other books are available if you'd like to know more about them. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we want you to go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can pull our programs down. You can listen directly or indirectly 5 hours a day on the Internet. You can listen to our archive programs. You can pull down my newsletters, and we encourage you to read them. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, that's the June newsletter, on the Occult Hierarchy Part 2, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and then please pray for America, pray for revival, and pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, because we're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. And so until Monday, may the Lord be with you. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Please hold your calls, because we have this on the line, Wes Neal. And Wes has his own radio program somewhere in the Middle West, and he certainly is trying to get the information out. He's very, very concerned about the issue of abortion. And I'm very concerned about the issue of abortion. When you stop and think that we've probably murdered here in the United States almost 50 million children since Roe versus Wade went into effect back in 1973. Furthermore, the United States, through our population control funding, has supervised and paid for the murder of probably hundreds of millions of children throughout the rest of the world. And we're talking about many instances of forced abortion, because certainly American money was used to fund International Planned Parenthood and certain parts of UNESCO and other United Nations organizations that helped to fund and supervise the China's one-choice policy or one-child policy. There was no talk there about choice for women. It was you'll be aborted, or you'll lose your job, or you'll lose your home, or you'll go to prison, and then we'll force you to be sterilized. So this sort of thing goes on in the world, and much of this has been funded with American tax money, and the average American has no idea what's really going on, because they do not understand the basis of American foreign policy. And that is included in a document called NSSM 200, National Security Study Memorandum 200. It's available on the internet. If you can't get it, we do have it available from Radio Liberty. But it lays out a program that was put together back in 1974 by Henry Kissinger, and it says there are too many people in the world, and we're going to limit the number of people in many countries throughout the world, and we're going to do whatever has to be done to control the population. So with that as a background, Wes, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. I'm really excited to be with you tonight. It certainly is an honor and a privilege. You've certainly been an inspiration to myself and to my family, and really what I'd like to do on the broadcast tonight. You're right, so few people in America have any idea what's really going on with this issue of abortion and so many other issues, because I think, as if you tried to explain, that they don't really understand that there's a spiritual component. There are spiritual forces behind this evil and so many of the evils that do take place in our nation today, many of them being funded by our government, many of them being funded by the UN and other NGOs. And what I'd like to try to do tonight is to bring a biblical perspective to the issue. It's a highly emotionally charged debate. There are many scientific components that do come into the debate. But I would like to bring a biblical perspective, because as Christians, for those of us that are Christians, have experienced the grace of God, what should be the final authority in our lives, the ultimate rule of our faith and practice in every area of our life, but the very Word of God.
Hold that thought for just a moment, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Wes Neal, and Wes says that there is a spiritual component to what's going on, and of course he's absolutely right. There is a spiritual component to everything that is going on in the world today, whether it would be abortion or population control or the war in Iraq or what's going on in the Supreme Court. So I'm going to let you pick up the ball and run with it, Wes. I think that's an important aspect to look at. What's the spiritual component of abortion? And I think that when we talk about abortion, we can say, but think of the problem for the woman, for the unmarried girl who's going to have a child. You know, wouldn't it be a lot better off if she simply had an abortion and the problem was no longer there? So you pick up the story. How do we address that problem?
Well, it certainly wouldn't be better for that child. And it's not better for the mother as well. I mean, studies have shown that there is increased risk of breast cancer for women who have had abortions. It has to do with an abnormal level of hormones that elevate when that pregnancy is abnormally terminated in such a way by abortion. And, you know, the American media, the American medical establishment just refuses to acknowledge that has been proven and that link is there and that you can show it through good science, because it doesn't further their agenda. It doesn't promote what they want, and that is to have these children killed. You know, it's funny that they call the movement pro-choice, trying to put a good face on something that is incredibly wicked and incredibly evil, because they're not about choice. If you've ever been outside of a abortion, quote, clinic, I really hate to call it that because it has nothing to do with making anybody better or helping anybody, but many times they have escorts outside to see these women from their cars into the clinic. And then, of course, many times you have people from the pro-life side of things are trying to minister, excuse me, to these women and trying to save these children, trying to tell these women the truth, trying to warn them of the harm that they're putting themselves in to, and also warning them about what they're about to do, which is actually murder their unborn child. And the medicalists, they're not about choice, because what these escorts will do, they won't tell you, they won't stop and let you peacefully have a nice logical discussion with this woman and present the facts to her. No, what they want is to get her in there as quickly as possible and to talk her into killing that child. It has nothing to do about choice. And it's interesting that I've got a story in front of me from back in August of 2002 that Newsmax ran, citing a Pravda story, the formerly the Russian nationalist newspaper that we used to look at in America as being so controlled by the government, ran a very good article about the increased risk of breast cancer.
All right, hold that talk right there, please. Okay, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Wes Neal, and we're talking about really what's happening as far as abortion is concerned. And Wes's point is that this is not a harmless procedure. There's a definite scientific evidence of increased incidence of breast carcinoma in women who have first trimester abortions. And the more first trimester abortions you have, the higher the incidence of breast carcinoma. And there's no question at all that this is a scientific fact, but has been an organized effort to actually contain that information to prevent the girls, prevent the general population from understanding that when you kill the unborn child, you may be killing the mother as well. They don't want the women to know that. They don't want women to know about the psychological impact or the problems that they will have as far as getting pregnant or carrying a pregnancy to term in the future. So pick up the story there, Wes.
Well, sure, Dr. Stan. As you said, it's certainly not a safe procedure. It's not safe for the mother, and it's certainly not safe for the baby, for that child. It results in the murder of at least one human every time an abortion is performed. And I do believe that abortion has become the most common surgical procedure in America. And I've already gone a little bit far afield here, but like I said, I'd like to tell you a little bit about what the Bible says about it. And the Bible certainly does declare that an abortion is murder. You can look in Exodus chapter 21, beginning in verse 22, and the Bible says, "If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life." So what is the Bible saying there? Well, what the Bible's telling us is that this is a murder, as any other murder, and God treats it worthy of capital punishment. If somehow men are striving and a man attacks this woman and the baby is killed in the process, the Bible says that that's a murder deserving of capital punishment. Over in Job 3:16, there's a verse of scripture that says, "Are as in hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light." I just think it's interesting though, the wording that God chooses there. He's calling these preborn children that are yet in the womb infants, because normally when we think of infants, we think of children, and that's exactly what they are. But what the media has done is they've come up with these other words, these scientific words, to dehumanize that child. We call it a fetus rather than a child, but it's funny because even the words of people that would consider themselves to be pro-abortion, to be pro-choice, their very words betray them, because when they see, they want to present this issue in one manner, one way, calling it a biological mass or a growth of tissue. But you know, when they see their friends that are expecting a child, they say, when is your baby due? And so their very words betray them. One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture testifying to the humanity of the preborn child is over in the book of Luke. It says in chapter 1, beginning in verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. The Bible tells us that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost when she spake these words, that she was under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, and she declares that the babe in her womb leaped for joy, that that child was experiencing emotion even in the very womb. I think the Bible makes it very clear that biblically there's no way around it, that indeed this preborn child is a human being, and it is a murder to kill that child through the procedure that we call abortion. But what has happened to so many Christians in this country, we've allowed ourselves to be deceived, we've allowed ourselves to be spoiled by worldly philosophy. As it says over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Unfortunately, many Christians, they're just ignorant of the Word of God and what it has to say about these issues, or either they've just merely rejected the Word of God completely and accepted the rudiments of this world. They've accepted the worldly philosophy of these people that supposedly know better, that are, I guess, smarter than the true and living God.
Well, I think, Wes, when we begin to use our own intelligence, and our own intelligence would say, well, yes, certainly this is a terrible tragedy, but of course she can always have other children, and think how this poor girl's life is going to be impacted, and wouldn't it be better if she didn't have to go through the embarrassment? Wouldn't it be better if she waited until she could have a husband? Wouldn't it be better? And you can give all the explanations, but the one thing that's left out of the equation is, how does God feel about this? And
amen,
we can really address all of the issues that we face today. What is God's position on that? And you take God out of our everyday life, and we'll have moral anarchy, and that's exactly what's happening in America today.
Oh, amen, Dr. Stan. I tell people all the time, I say, you know what? My opinion really doesn't matter, and neither does yours. The only opinion that really counts is God's opinion, and He's given us that in the Bible. And I think you're right. We've gone into this moral relativism, and moral anarchy reigns, where licentiousness is just out of control in our country. And you know, really, there's the two kingdoms at work here that you've mentioned so often. You've got a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of light, and even the Bible makes that quite clear. You know, many people would think that We're seeing boogeymen behind every tree, but the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And as you've said so many times, there really are evil people in the world that want to further these agendas, and they have their organizations, and just as the Christian church has missionaries to spread their message eternal life, the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the finished work of Calvary's cross, and how you can have a more abundant life through the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth. They have their missionaries as well. They may not call them that, but they're very effective. through Planned Parenthood, through the Marie Stopes Organization, through the UN and all of its associated NGOs, of promoting this agenda of death and murder worldwide.
And, you know, of course, when you take a position on this and you talk about God, then the response will be, well, do you speak for God? And the answer to that is, no, I don't speak for God, but you have to go to God's Word. And, of course, they may very well say, well, I don't believe that the Bible is God's Word. And the response would be, well, that's your decision. I happen to. And here's what the Holy Scriptures say. And, you know, usually they will sort of back down when you actually begin quoting the Bible. And, you know, of course, the one thing that they really can't stand is when you talk about that unborn child that is about to be murdered as a unique individual made in the image and likeness of God. And, you know, when you use the Word of God and you make that statement, usually why the enemy wants to change the subject, because deep down in their hearts, I think every person knows that there is a God, whether they profess and agree to it or not. And I believe that most people, even if they don't believe in the Bible, recognize the fact that it is the Word of God. So I think it's such an exciting thing to understand the true nature of the battle and to face it not from a medical point of view, but not to be able to proclaim the fact that the Bible is God's Word, and we have to look to that certainly for a direction in our lives. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Wes, you certainly in a full-time ministry or part-time ministry as far as abortion. What are you doing?
Well, I tell you, I have kind of an eclectic background, Dr. Stan. Academically, it's computer science and mathematics, and I worked in that field for many years, and then changed careers and went into law enforcement for several years, and then I actually went on the road full time as a street preacher for several years, and then at one point I worked with a group up in the Milwaukee area called Missionaries to the Preborn. If anybody's interested, they can get on their website at Missionaries to Preborn. It's all one word, all lowercase, missionaries2preborn.com, and you can see some good material on their website. And I worked with them, and it's a frontline organization, taking the truth to the streets, you might say, trying to counsel women coming into clinics, trying to give them literature, trying to give them alternatives, trying to offer them help, and trying to show them the truth of what they're really about to do. And then after moving down here to Texas, which is where I'm based now, I was still full-time in the ministry, I guess you could say, for a while, taking the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and truth and life to some clinics in the Houston area. But right now I'm actually working full-time again and doing the broadcast on Saturday nights and ministering as a time and opportunity permits. But it's still an issue that's very near and dear to my heart. And I have seen women turned away, and that's a real blessing. I tell you, I think everybody has their own approach and what they think, but I think showing the truth has an impact. The old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words, and it's hard to argue with those pictures when they're confronted of what the result of an abortion really looks like. And
of course, the people on the other side can't stand those pictures, because they know many times it does save the life of the unborn child. And what is so difficult to believe and understand is there really are people who want to see those children killed. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Wes Neal, and we've got Bob calling us from Kansas. Hi, Bob. How are you doing? See, Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead. You have a question or comment?
Well, I'd say there's a lot of innocent blood on our head here, don't you think, as a nation?
Yep.
You know, that kind of disturbs me. I think our judgment's about here on this country for things like this that we've done. I was trying to find it and call your number, do it all at the same time, but I think it's in chapter 2 of Hosea, but God speaks of the health effects. He says, what will I do to to the woman that brings delivers her child up to the murderer, I will give her a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. Isn't that weird how that speaks of health effects? Because women do have miscarriages a lot after they've scarred their womb.
I think it might be in the book of Isaiah.
I know it's Hosea for sure.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I trying to call the number and look it up at the same time. I read it there and I thought, oh my, that's just... I read it there one time and I thought, that's exactly the health effects of women on abortion.
Well, certainly there's no question that an abortion does influence the ability of a woman to carry subsequent children to term. Anything else you wanted to say, Bob?
It's almost like, just like you were saying, every time you mention God's word, they almost like curdle on you. Those people, they just get all squeamish on you when you mention God's word and what he has to say about these kinds of things. And I'm thinking, well, what Jesus said, even the devils believe and tremble, don't they?
They sure do.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Bob. And how would you respond to Bob, what he's saying there?
Well, the land certainly is soaked and polluted with innocent blood, and it's interesting. Sometime for your listeners, I challenge them to get an old King James Bible and get their concordance out and just do a study on that phrase, innocent blood, and see what the Bible has to say about it. You know, over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." And it certainly is an abomination to God, and I know he certainly has been merciful in giving this country and many others a space to repent for all the innocent blood that we've soaked the land with. I'll throw this out there. This may stir some of your listeners up. I personally have a theory on that, and that is our friendship with Israel is the only thing that is keeping God just from completely dropping the hammer of judgment on us. And I think as soon as we turn on Israel, then it will really break wide open. But I guess time will tell. You know, it talks about the shedding of innocent blood over in Psalms, chapter 106. It says, "They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen, and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed under the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions." You know, we have a lot of idols in this country today that people are sacrificing their children to. Maybe money, sex, beauty, sports, career, self. You know, children were meant to be a blessing from God.
Hold that thought there for just a moment, Wes, as we bring our stations on board right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number out across America is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And this is a burning issue. Sometimes we want to put it on the back burner. Sometimes we say, oh, well, my goodness, it's been around really for almost 32 years now that abortion has been legalized here in America. And after all, we're a nation of law, and the Supreme Court has held, and of course, we are not a nation of law. There is nothing in the Constitution that allowed that Supreme Court decision. And what most people don't understand is that if you look at the Supreme Court today, every one of the Supreme Court justices that is actually coming up with these bad and wicked decisions was appointed by that president who was either a Mason, a affiliated with Masonry, or affiliated with the Skull and Bone Society. I mean, this is the great tragedy of today, is that the people don't understand that there are wicked people who have a different worldview. And many of them have been presidents of the United States. Of our last 12 presidents, including George W. Bush, six have been Masons or associated with Masonry. Six came from the Council on Foreign Relations. two were members of Skull and Bones. Now, that's more than 12, but some people have dual membership. There was only one president who was not from Skull and Bones, the CFR, or Mason, and his name was John Kennedy, and you remember what happened to him. So we got a real problem in America. We have corrupt courts, and when you have a corrupt court, you have a corrupt nation. And remember what happened in 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, what happened to Israel when they had corruption in their courts, when they had corrupt judges. Well, I think the same thing is going to happen to America. So pick up the story from there, Wes. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
I'll tell you, even the Bible even speaks to that, what you were just talking about our corrupt courts. And, you know, people may say that, well, certainly the Lord, the God of the Bible, didn't have our Supreme Court in mind when he inspired men to pen these verses. But, you know, the Bible tells us that he'll tell us the end from the beginning. You know, it's interesting in that the Bible is the only of the, quote, holy books in the world that does prophesy historical events that can be shown that came to pass. But anyway, over in Psalm 94, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood." Now, certainly those verses could speak to other circumstances, but I think they certainly apply to our Supreme Court and many of our other courts in this nation that are making wicked decisions to take the lives of innocent people and to shed innocent blood. You know, Bob was mentioning how people seem to curdle and withdraw from the Word of God. As we talked about over in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that it's a spiritual battle. And over in verse 17 there, what does it tell us that our offensive weapon is in that spiritual battle, but the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? It probably is one of the most powerful tools we have in this battle, Dr. Stan, and unfortunately, in the pro-life fight, I think it's well underused and should be utilized more often, because certainly God can use His Word if we put it out there to deal. His Holy Spirit can use it to deal with the hearts of men. Our time's going quickly, and one issue I mentioned to you on the phone that I'd like to bring up is another spiritual component to what's going on with this abortion, is that Lucifer, Satan, he desires the worship that is due only to God. And we can see that in the scripture over in the book of Isaiah chapter 14. Beginning in verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." This shows us this was the heart of Lucifer, which caused him to be cast out of heaven. And the true God of the Bible has always required a blood sacrifice. Now, of course, Dr. Stan, not the blood of humans, but he has required blood. And you can see this from the time the coats of skin were made in the garden and Abel's acceptable sacrifice, all through the Levitical law, and finally in the precious and sinless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the final sacrifice. And Satan desires an ugly counterfeit of that. And that is one component of this battle which is raging in our nation and largely around the world.
And I think that's really a very well taken point. I agree with you that abortion really is a blood sacrifice to the prince of this world. We're going to be back here in just a minute with our special guest, Wes Neal, and we're going to go to Ben, who's calling us from New York State. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Wes Neal, and right now we've got Ben, who's calling us from New York. What part of New York are you calling from, Ben?
In Brooklyn, New York, Dr. Stan.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Stan, I'm calling to give an opinion on the topic that you're discussing tonight, which is, of course, abortion.
Go ahead.
I find it disturbing, if I could say so, because myself, doctor, I'm 56 years old, and I haven't been able to have a child of my own. And what I say is that those people that can commit such an act don't know what it is when there are so many millions of people throughout the world who desire to have a child, and these people just do what they do. A child is a gift that God gives to mankind. It's something that you long to have. And I speak for myself as a person that does not know what it is to have a child. However, I've helped my my wife when I met her, and I was able to raise three of her children as my own. But still, there's that need, that emptiness. And it's even more heavier on me, Dr. Stan, because I lost my dad when I was 6 months old, and I was raised by my stepfather. So it's like a double sword of a feeling that I have. And at times I become saddening, anger, and what have you, you know, through actions such as abortion.
And I sympathize with you. And Wes, how would you respond to Ben?
You know, I sympathize with him as well, and it's a good point that one of the catchphrases they try to hide behind is every child a wanted child. That's one of Planned Parenthood's little catchphrase slogans they use, and they try to imply that it would be better for this child to be murdered rather than to somehow grow up unwanted. But the truth of the matter is there's many, many people that would be more than happy to raise that baby. There's long waiting lists. I think I saw a statistic at one time there was approximately 6 million people in this country waiting to adopt children. And so these children are wanted, and that's no excuse to kill them. Many times I've been in front of the clinics and trying to warn these women, counsel these women, and they'll look at me and say, okay, so are you going to raise this baby? And I'll just tell them very clearly, yes, I will. I'll be happy to. You give me that child, and I'll be happy to raise it and teach it about the Lord Jesus Christ and give it a Christian home. And you know what? Then they don't have an answer. They go in, and they do what they're going to do, but they can't hide behind that argument anymore. They have to take some responsibility for the action they're about to take.
Hold that thought right there, Wes. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Ben on the line from New York State, and he was just saying how he's 56 years old, and although he's raised several children of somebody else's, his wife, who he married, he's never had a child of his own. And as he, you know, getting to the point now where he probably never will have a child, and there's a certain sense of frustration and emptiness there. Anything else you wanted to say, Ben?
Yes, Dr. Stan. The other point that I wanted to mention to you, in 2003, I had to take a trip with my wife to Puerto Rico. My wife is originally from a small city called Sabana Grande. And while visiting her uncle, we used to go home at about 7 o'clock at night. And I used to see a young man standing guard outside of the building. And then one night, the inscription on the building caught my attention. And it said it had something to do with masonry. At that time, I didn't know what it was, so we were curious, and we asked the young man, is this a church or something that we could visit? He said, oh, no, you know, this is a private organization. You have to become a member. Well, I brushed it off, and I kept on walking. Now that I listen to your program, and it has become known to me what masonry is all about, me and Dr. Stan, it's an organization that's infiltrated other parts of the world also.
It's a worldwide movement, and most Masons have no idea what masonry is about.
Yes.
All right, God bless you, and thanks so much for calling, Ben. And just keep listening and get all those other people back there in New York, in Brooklyn, listening.
Yes, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
All right, fine. Well, that's the first time we'd heard from Ben. It's good to know that there are people all across the country listening. Well, Wes, you are actually doing a shortwave broadcast you do?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I'm on the shortwave on Saturday evenings at 8:30 Central Time. I guess that would be 9:30 Eastern on 5.085. I'm on for half an hour on Saturday evenings.
5.085.
Yes.
And that would be, of course, 6:30 here on the West Coast, 7:30 Mountain Time, 8:30 Central Time, and 9:30. And I'm sure it's a great program. And do you have a web page or any other way people could get in touch with you if they'd like to?
I don't have a website right now. If they'd like to write to me, they can simply write to Brother Wes at Post Office Box 397, Ace, Texas, 77326. That's Ace, Texas, 77326. And I'd be happy to send them some more literature about this issue, send them some of the pictures, send them some pamphlets. And some of this literature that I have is just very well done. I didn't put it together, but it's just excellent. I have one that's titled, Which American Organization Receives Millions of Your Tax Dollars and Murders People? And then, of course, you open it up, and it's talking about Planned Parenthood and the sum, $254 million of our tax dollars that they receive every year so that they can promote their murderous agenda. And it's a very well-done piece of literature, very professionally printed. I'd be happy to send people some of these things because, you know, if everybody would just do what we could in getting the truth out, you know, giving literature to our friends, giving it to the people in our church, maybe taking it door-to-door, leaving it in phone booths, there's just so many ways. And I tell you, once somebody has seen those pictures, it's hard to escape the impact that it makes on their heart and mind. Those images will haunt them. And there's even times when those images have brought people to repentance.
And have you ever noticed they never have those pictures up on television across America?
Oh, it's interesting that if they're so much about pro-choice, why aren't they openly presenting both sides of the debate?
And they won't even sell television time on most networks. Two people are willing to pay for it to get these pictures up. Why? Because they do not want the American people to know that we are killing living human beings. And of course, the interesting thing is, despite all of the propaganda, despite all of the thought control and media manipulation, why the pendulum is swinging in our direction, and the majority of the American people now are steadfast against abortion. Well, once again, Wes's program is at 8:30 p.m. Central Time. That's 6:30 Western Time. This is Saturday evening. It is 7:30 Mountain Time, 8:30 Central Time, and 9:30 on the Eastern Time. And once again, the shortwave frequency?
5.085 on Saturday night.
5.085 on Saturday night. Okay. Well, so go ahead, and you were just telling us that you would send people examples of this literature and the pictures, and believe me, a picture is worth a thousand words. That's why they won't allow it on television in free America. That's why you can't buy time for this on television in free America, because they know how powerful pictures are.
Oh, exactly. About the only way that you can get these pictures on TV, I've heard in some areas people have managed to get them on, where they had people that were declared as political candidates and that took a strong pro-life stand, a genuine pro-life stand, and made these pictures a part of their campaign commercials, because in that way they were protected by law, and the media had to show them, sort of forcing their hand. Before we run out of time, I would like to continue on just a little bit how we were talking about it's a blood sacrifice.
Go right ahead, because I think it's such a good point.
And we were talking about how Satan desires this ugly counterfeit of the worship only deserving to the true and living God. And through the ages, Satan has come up with many different ways to get that blood sacrifice. And in the process, what he's doing is he's destroying that person that's created in the image of God, which, of course, is probably the closest thing he can come to destroying God directly. And destroying that human being that is created to bring glory to God, the ultimate purpose of man, and thus stealing God's glory and glorifying himself. I know we're running out of time, so I won't go, but even in the Bible you can find many references where Israel had turned from the true and living God and had gone after idols and were sacrificing children. In Isaiah 57:5 it says, "Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks." And talks about in Jeremiah 19:5 how they were They were burning their sons in the fire in sacrifices to Baal. And in Deuteronomy 12:31, it speaks about how they were doing every abomination of God and sacrificing sons and daughters to heathen gods. And then there's even other examples we can look at historically where Lucifer got these sacrifices, these human sacrifices, through the Aztecs and through the Druids, through modern-day Satanists, and then also through abortions. I'll tell you, they're much more than just clinics, whether people realize it or not. That is a temple where there are human sacrifices going on. One of the most religious, quote, men I've ever met was a man that was an escort at one of these clinics, and not only did he go on Saturdays, take his day off to go down there to make sure he could get these women in there and get their babies killed, he worked at a building downtown around the corner from the clinic, and every day at his morning break and on his lunch hour, he came over there to serve his master, Lucifer, and get those women into there. And I told him one day he was the most religious man that I had ever met, that he went to the temple at least twice a day. And there's a lot of truth in that. And you know, not only, they have their false prophets as well. You know, the Bible warned us that false prophets would come in a sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves over in the book of Matthew. Over in the book of Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 13, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, who then shall be according to their works." Now where am I going with all of that? There is actually an organization called the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. If any of your listeners would like to check it out, I certainly don't endorse them, but if they just want to check out the facts and make sure that I'm not making this up, you can get on the web at rcrc.org. And their goal in their mission statement, it says, is to preserve reproductive choice as a basic part of religious liberty. Now, they use these phrases that sound all nice and glittering, but the murder of children was never a part of religious liberty. And it even ends their mission statement with all of this language about education and economic help and blah, 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 and communities that are equipped to nurture children in peace and love. Now, how are you going to nurture these children that you're killing? That doesn't sound like a nurturing environment to me. And your listeners may be thinking, well, certainly these are just some far-left cultic-type people. I mean, certainly we're not talking about mainstream people that would take part in anything, any organization such as that. Well, let me tell you who some of their members are, and this is off of their very own website. The Episcopal Church, the Presbyterian Church USA, United Methodist Church, the YMCA of the USA, the Lutherans Women's Caucus, the Jewish Anti-Defamation League, and on and on and on. Many mainstream groups are a member of this wicked organization that's promoting the murder of these children in the name of religious freedom.
And, you know, I think the most difficult thing, Wes, is for the average person to realize that there really are people out there living here in America, in this wonderful country, who have given their lives to evil, that have given their lives to Lucifer, who worship Satan, and some of them, of course, very knowingly know exactly what they're doing. They have an entirely different worldview. They look at everything just the opposite from the way we look at it. And until you understand that, you can't understand anything going on in the world today. You can't understand why they're poisoning our children with fluoride, or poisoning them with aspartame, or poisoning them with mercury and the thimerosal and the vaccines. And the people of the CDC, one of the leaders there, said, why, no one would want to hurt children. And when I heard that statement, I thought of the 50 million children that have been murdered here in the United States, ripped apart limb from limb, and the partial birth abortion, which continues today. And I would say, of course there are people who want to murder children. Just look around you and understand what's going on today. And, you know, people always say, well, but what about rape and incest? And my wife was commenting, there was a program on Oprah Winfrey recently, and they interviewed some woman who'd been raped over in the Congo, the Belgian Congo, we call it Zaire today, and she had had a child as a result of that rape, and somebody asked her why she had the child, and her remark really was so much more learned than that of many of our people, university graduates here today. Her response was, well, the child wasn't guilty.
Exactly. That was exactly what was in my mind, Dr. Stan. I didn't know that's where you were going with that. But certainly out of this whole situation, I mean, certainly the woman is innocent, but the child is the most innocent party of all, but yet that's the one that's punished for the act. I mean, in any sane, logical thinking society, you punish the evildoer, not the innocent. The Bible even tells us that that's what God ordained governments to do, is to be a terror to the evildoers, but yet we're killing the innocent.
And you know what's really so interesting along that line is, as we've tried to legalize abortion, we've diminished the criminal penalties for rape. So at one time, if you raped a woman, why, you might get 20 or 40 years in prison or life imprisonment, because we held that the life that may be created was a very important thing, and you had no right to do that sort of thing, to rape a woman and create a life and put that woman and the child in a position of jeopardy. So as we wanted to dehumanize that child and justify killing it, then we decrease the penalty for rape. And now sometimes fellas will get a year or 2 years in prison. Most statutory rape we don't even bother to report today. It's almost as if we live in a world gone mad.
Oh, and exactly. And many of these clinics are active participants in the cover-up of many statutory rapes, as underage girls come to those clinics that have been made pregnant by much, much older men, and now they're trying to hide their sin and cover their sin through the murder of the child. But one day it'll be made known. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out, and God's word is forever true. In an ever-changing world, that is one thing that you can always stand on, is the word of God.
And I really think it's so important for people to realize that you may be able to conceal what's happened from your family or from your friends, but you can't conceal it from God. And once we begin to take God out of the equation, you end up with moral anarchy. And this is what's happening in America today. And God will not be marked. And as Thomas Jefferson had said, and we've said it so many times before, but we'll say it again, as he talked about, you know, the fact that he trembled for his country when he reflected that God was just and his justice would not sleep forever. So you have to realize that there will be consequences for what has happened here in this country. And whether it's because we support Israel that God is holding off his judgment, or there is a timetable there that is being played out, but God is still in control of what's going on. We are called to be involved, and certainly we're not to sit back and say, oh, well, we don't have to be involved because God is, and he's going to determine the ultimate outcome. But I believe he expects every one of us to be working and taking a stand in this truly spiritual battle for the lives and hearts of humanity and the survival of our civilization.
Amen. I'm afraid we've become, as the Bible describes, professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools, as we've turned our back on the rational and logical thinking. You know, I think it's Alexis de Tocqueville is accredited with saying, when America ceases to be good, it will cease to be great. And I'm afraid, Dr. Stan, that's the position we find ourselves in today. The Bible tells us righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And certainly our nation is in need of repentance. And I do encourage people to get the truth out, you know, no one can truly get a right perspective on this until they do know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us the truth shall set you free, and he who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And you won't be free to get a proper perspective on this or any of the other issues that are so important in our world today until you do know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not knowing about Jesus, it's knowing Jesus. The Bible tells us, and those who received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Well, Les, I really appreciate the fact that you're out there on the front lines of this battle and keep hammering away at it. Everyone is called to do something different, and you are called to be, you know, ministering in the field of abortion, and other people are working in other moral fields.
Amen.
I just try to cover everything and know But I can't certainly have the knowledge that you do. And I think it's so important that there's so many references to abortion and killing innocent children in the scriptures. In fact, if you ever wondered why God commanded the children of Israel to kill everyone in Jericho after the walls came tumbling down, that was simply because they were sacrificing their children to Moloch. And aren't we, perhaps here right in America, sacrificing our children to Moloch? We're going to be back here in just a moment with Wes to wrap up this evening's program right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Wes, we've got 3 minutes more before we have to let you go. How would you like to wrap up this evening's program?
Wow. Oh,
now, I can't leave you speechless, because if you do radio every evening, every Saturday evening, why, you know what to do when nobody calls in.
Amen. I love doing radio, Dr. Stan. It's my prayer that someday the Lord would expand that for me. As you said, I used to do a show that was primarily focused on the issue of abortion, but kind of like you now, I hit on many different issues, because I tell you, you really can't separate one of these things out and look at it alone. I describe it to people as if it's like some sort of a spider web, and all of these things, whether it's Luciferian worship or the secret societies, or whether it's the murder of children or the sodomite agenda that's storming our country, or all of these other issues. There's the UN and all of these things, even what's going on with so much of the medical field and the vaccines, it's all intertwined.
It sure is. And once you begin to connect the dots, well, you begin to see the picture. The trouble is that without some help, it's pretty hard to connect the dots.
And as you said, I'd just like to encourage everybody to do what you can just to tell others, whether it's buying copies of Dr. Stan's book and giving them out to your friends and neighbors, whether it's getting a hold of the Institute of the Constitution with Pastor David Whitney and teaching that to people that you know, whether it's showing people the truth about abortion. Like I say, just write me. I'll be happy to send you. There's some very small cards that you can give to people. You can leave them places. Just so many ways you can use them. Just write to me. Post Office Box 397, 8th, Texas, 77326, but I would just like to...
One more time. The post office box, what?
Post office box 397, ACE, A-C-E, Texas, 77326. But just to encourage everybody to keep kicking with both feet until the Lord comes for us.
And, of course, that's what we're called to do. We're called to persevere until he comes, and we hope he comes soon. We don't know when he's coming, but I will tell you that all the signs are certainly there. The return of the children to Israel, the ability to have a cashless society, the wars continue raging throughout the world. But you can see the hand of God in so much of what's going on today, because everything is in place now for the cashless society, for the coming of the man of sin. And if you read the Luciferian publications as I do, they think he'll be here very soon. Wes, God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us, and hope we can get you on again here in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's certainly been a pleasure.
Well, we'll look forward to it. Won't be too long. Good night. God bless.
Good night.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed our program with Wes. He's one of those people who's out in the front lines just trying to get the information out, and he's giving our books out. He bought a case of our books and is distributing them and certainly doing his own radio program. And the more people we get out there doing radio programs and reaching people with the truth, and the truth, of course, has to be based on the Word of God. It can't be, you know, just simply about conspiracies or about politics or about George Bush. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. And if you don't recognize the spiritual aspect of what's going on, you really can't understand anything going on today. Well, this is the time we certainly want to mention that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We do have a unique opportunity to add 18 stations, many of them major radio stations in the Middle West, to our network. And, of course, this will be the first hour of this program, but it's a unique opportunity. And if you'd like to help us, reach out and expand massively our evening program, almost triple the number of stations that are hearing this message. Why, if you're in a position to make a pledge or to help us, we'd certainly appreciate hearing from you. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you'd like to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will describe the spiritual element of what's going on, or you can get the book, or you can get the video, or you can get the audio tape, I recommend them to you, not because I wrote it, but because the message is true. There really are many organizations out there working, but they all have a common goal: a new world order, a new world religion, a new world monetary system. If you're interested in the monetary system, we have a great DVD, a talk I gave entitled The Coming Financial Crisis. That's The Coming Financial Crisis. And there's a booklet that goes with that if you'd like to get it. It's called A History of Money, A History of Money. And it's basically three or four of the talks that I've, pardon me, of the newsletters I've written. And we put them into a pamphlet that will really give you an overview of the occult forces behind the current monetary system. Let me repeat that. Of the occult forces behind the monetary system, because you can't understand our monetary system unless you understand that there is a spiritual component to what's going on today and the deception of the people of this world. And where it's all going to end is with the impoverishment of the great masses of people, and most people who are unaware of what's going on will lose literally everything they have. And as with Argentina, within about 3 years ago, they've wiped out almost all of the middle class. And it's going to happen here for those people who are unaware of what's going on. So again, the DVD is The Coming Financial Crisis, the pamphlet, and it's a book. It's a small booklet. We call it A History of Money. And, of course, if you'd like to get a free copy of our latest newsletter, which deals with the occult hierarchy that rules the world, that's the occult hierarchy too. That's the June newsletter. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you want to go up on our webpage at RadioLiberty.com, that's RadioLiberty.com. Why, you can pull down our newsletters. They're there. They're free. And we encourage you to copy them, to print them out, to distribute them to others, and help them to understand what's going on. We build up a listening audience because people have told people who've told people, and you can do that. If you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, you can listen to our programs directly or indirectly 5 hours a day. We're on several networks, and they're all listed there. You can listen to our archive programs. You can pull down our newsletters and then, of course, understand really what's going on. Read them. Check out the facts. If you need documentation, we have documentation on everything we say. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, may the Lord be with you.